Reichman University.
De-influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jana Hoffman and Amanda Jakubowicz.
Welcome to De-Influence, a show that explores the world behind the camera, the influencers who can affect our lives and the world in which they live. My name is Jonah Hoffman, and with me, as always, is Amanda Jakubowicz, and today we are joined by a very special guest. You know her best as one of the founders and leaders of Olimin Tel Aviv, Noah Barazani. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My God, thank you guys for having me. That was such a good intro, Jona. I'm very impressed. I've done podcasts before, and that's a fabulous intro.
He's really good at that.
Can you give me tips and pointers after?
Yes, of course. I'll send you a post-it note.
Perfect.
With all of them. So just to hop right into it, how have you gotten into this world? Obviously, like, everybody knows you from Olimin Tel Aviv, mm-hmm. and your famous street interviews and the podcast and everything. How did you really enter this world in the first place?
To be honest, I don't come from any social media background, anything like that. I studied finance in college. I worked in finance for 4 years, and in the middle of working, I just had all this content built up on my phone, and I started this Instagram account for the community because I thought a lot of Olim have shared inside jokes, shared stories, shared humor, and I just don't think anyone was properly documenting it. So I just shared content that I had of me and my friends doing stupid stuff in Tel Aviv, and it went viral. And then I realized it was much more than that. Like, people started asking me, are you doing events? Can I come to hang out with you and your friends? Because people really here are looking for a community. And I know how hard it is to move to Israel and not have that. So it was just kind of one, I didn't intend for any of this to happen. Like, I didn't start it with this intention, but it just kind of happened.
So going into, like, what was your personal Ola experience like? Like, when did you move here? Yeah. How did you make these friends?
So I had an interesting story. I studied abroad at Tel Aviv University when I was in college, and I absolutely, like, fell in love with Israel. Even though I'm, like, half Israeli, my parents are from here. I was born here. I just grew up in the States my entire life. And after college, I was like, you know what? I'm going to move to Tel Aviv for a year or two, give it a chance. Like, I come from a finance background, and for me, the other option was just going to New York and, like, doing the basic Wall Street route. And I told myself it's now or never. So I came here and just loved it and told myself I don't want to go. So I came here. I was lucky because I had a few friends from study abroad. So it wasn't such a isolating experience like it is for a lot of people. But I met all my friends through mutual friends. And it's just, you meet one person, it opens up a whole other door for you. And yeah.
Exactly. Like, so I'm also, like, Israeli, yeah. Like, entire family's from Israel, like, grew up speaking Hebrew, blah, 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 like, grew up so, like, Zionist in Israel and everything. And then I'm finishing university now. And, like, the question is, like, oh, okay, so do I move here? Do I not? And, like, I'm literally so jealous of, like, people like you and, like, people that just, like, got up one day and, like, had the courage to be, like, I'm going to go to Israel. Like, I love Israel so much. Like, I'm going to do it. And, like,
it's not easy. It's not easy, but worst case, what happens? You're young, you move here, it doesn't work out, you can always get up and move back. Like, that's what I always told myself. Do you have the option? Which is always nice. But
exactly.
It's now or never.
Have you seen the effects that Olim in Tel Aviv has had in helping new Olim or convincing people to sort of move to Israel or to come even just to be here for a year or two in the first place?
So what's really interesting is the name is Olim in Tel Aviv, but it's much bigger than that. A lot of our followers live outside of Israel. A lot of them are people who did Birthright or Masah programs, and, like, they get the inside jokes, they get the humor, and they want to stay connected to Israel. So they follow our account, and they're able to live through their own experiences through this account. And, you know, what's interesting is post-October 7th, a lot of the pro-Israel accounts, the Hasbara influencers, all these people, they're doing a great job, but it's focusing on politics, on war, and they're doing an amazing job. I'm not saying they're not doing a good job, but it's very hard to grow up in the States and just see that all the time. And I know a lot of people who are Jewish and live in the States, and they're scared of coming to Israel because all they see is politics and war and violence. So what Olim in Tel Aviv is really doing is it's showcasing life in an authentic way, and it showcases that life still goes on here. And I've gotten DMs from people saying, you're the reason I'm making Aliyah, or I'm considering studying abroad or doing a program here, and I was very scared because of what's been happening, but your account convinced me that it that it's safe enough. So yeah, it's crazy. I was just talking about this. This account started off as a joke and it's actually making an impact. You know, forget all the humor, forget all the Tinder Tuesdays, forget all that stuff, but people are seeing that life in Israel is normal.
100%. And like, this is really something that we talked about with Shachar when we interviewed him a couple of days ago. And like, there's the hasbara that's like getting in front of a camera and being like, Israel is the war and the da, 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 da. And then there's like the real authentic, like, here is a lens into life here. This is like real Israel.
Right.
This is what it's like. Like here, like Jews, like here's what it's like if you moved here. Non-Jews, this is just what our life is like. And that authenticity, that is the hasbara, like that connection, that humanization and that connection.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's two different ways for hasbara, like you just talked about basically, but.
Do you think there are specific pros to the type of hasbara, we'll say quote unquote hasbara, like societal and cultural hasbara that you guys do that are over the political type, like showing what life is like here in Israel?
I don't think it's pros. I just think it's different. It's a different angle you're taking. You're taking a humorous angle. You're taking the angle of connecting with people. You're taking, you know, you're just taking a totally different angle. I don't think it's pros and cons. I think it's different. And if you asked me, I would have never seen it as hasbara. It's just after all the DMs I'm getting and like the impact that I'm seeing, I'm like, okay, I'm actually making a difference. But when I upload Tinder Tuesday or like Startup Nation Reel, that's not what's going through my head, you know, but yeah.
How do you think like the effects of October 7th have actually changed the Olim community?
It's definitely brought them stronger together. Like the Olim community is strong, but October 7th helped bring people together for sure. Like helped, I think, people be more more authentic, more real, more loving and kind to other people too. Like Olim tend to stick in bubbles, like the Americans stick with each other, the Brits stick with each other, and I just think a lot of them started meshing more together and going to all these events and volunteering and, you know, just being more kind and loving, you know. After October 7th, I think the big takeaway was always be kind and always be nice and help others when you can, because you never know.
Exactly. I think that's probably also a lot of like that Israeli, like Am Yisrael coming together and everything, that really rubbing off on the Olim community and like the two communities learning a lot from each other.
Right.
And there's been kind of like a lot of Aliyah and a lot of Yerida, like a lot of moving away from Israel, from Israelis and non-Israelis coming here. How do you think that's changing the communities here, the Olim community? And how do you think that will sort of change the image of what an Israeli is in the future?
So it's interesting. We did have a lot of Olim this past year, and a lot of them are actually from Russia, which is fascinating. Not surprising, but fascinating. I don't think it's going to change necessarily, but I do think like Israel is going to have to become more adjusted for the Olim, like have more stuff in English. Every menu at every restaurant should have an English side to it. All websites should be able to be accessible in English or Russian or whatever it is. That's the main change I see. But in general, if you ask me what change would you like to see, more Olim and Israelis doing stuff together. I think there's a big disconnect between Olim and Israelis, and Olim come here and they want to be integrated and they want to get involved, and sometimes it's just hard to do that.
100%, especially when you're an Olev from somewhere which doesn't exactly have the largest Israeli community.
Right.
Because some cities in the U.S. have massive Israeli communities or people who lived in Israel who went there. So do you think in this post-October 7th world, especially in this massive spike of Aliyah, we're going to see a lot more meshing specifically in certain areas?
It depends on the people. It all depends on the people. That's part of what Olim and TLV does. We try to bring Israelis and Olim together through our events and everything we do. And like even our content, we try to combine Israelis and Olim. But I think it depends on the people. It depends on the initiative. It depends on the willingness. A lot of Israelis don't like, it's not that they don't like Olim, but they have a stigma of Olim, or they don't want to talk English. Like, it's going to have to come from the people themselves and the initiatives that organizations and groups and clubs take upon themselves to actually mesh these two groups.
And what's your favorite kind of initiative? Like, you have the content, you have the Tinder Tuesdays, the everything, the parties. Like, what is the thing that you just find is the most effective with doing that integration that you were talking about?
I think the most fulfilling thing for me, but also the most pain to do is events. Like, these events that I put on, they're so, like, they're so stressful. You want to make sure people show up. You're scared. And then you get in your head that, oh, no one's going to show up. Like, who am I even? Like, why are people going to come to this? And then the event happens and people show up. And then people come up to you and they're like, thank you for doing this. You've helped me find my friends here. And I've met so many people through your events. And it's so rewarding and fulfilling. And I was telling Jonah this, like, earlier. But, you know, for me, it's, like, funny and games and, like, just funny stuff and humorous and... But at the end of the day, it's like I'm getting these DMs and feedback that I'm actually making a difference. And it's sometimes really hard to process that, like, through these events and stuff, we're really helping people find a home here. So I think that's the most fulfilling.
That's one thing about, like, the change in just the social media landscape and then also the landscape on the ground with the pro-Israel community is, like, all of a sudden, like, there's this boost of engagement with any content related to Israel. And you're like, you, like, look back and you're like, oh, like...
Right.
I've gotten to this point. And, like, for you, you, like, stumbled into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think the account helps portray the Israeli and also Oleg community a positive light to those outside of Israel, especially those who, you know, may not be thinking about making Aliyah or plan to spend their whole lives in the United States or in Europe or wherever?
So Tinder Tuesday doesn't. But I actually have gotten a few DMs from non-Jews who live abroad, and they're like, your account has really made me fall in love with Israel and made me laugh at everything that's happening and made me think it's the right place for me. So to answer your question, based on those DMs, yes. Mm-hmm. Listen, some of our content is controversial, is funny, is showcasing Israelis or Olim in, like, a roastable way. So yeah. I can't say that everything, but at the end of the day, I think net, we're making a positive effect.
I think the Hot Take Thursdays, especially, are one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, we love those.
Those are both, like, the recently did the yellow mustard on latkes one. And yeah. I was like, oh, I agree with that one. That's a good one.
Ew.
Big personal fan of that one.
For sure. And so, like, so we're talking about integration with the Olim community and the Israeli community. And so do you find that there is a big disconnect in general between the mindsets of, like, Israeli Jews and non-Israeli Jews?
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, those culture shocks, like, what are kind of, like, the main culture shocks that bring that Olim kind of experience when they first get here?
I think the culture shocks, obviously, bureaucracy and dealing with that, that's a big culture shock. Are you talking about culture shocks in general or culture shocks with, like,
between the Olim community and the Israeli community? Like, what are kind of those, like, main roadblocks?
Language barrier, for sure, is a big one. And I think mentality, like, Israelis are just more like, you know, you always hear it, but chutzpah, like, mm-hmm. just, like, cutthroat. And mm-hmm. Olim tend to be a little more on the shy, reserved side. And Olim really have to learn that they have to stand up for what they want and what they need here. Otherwise, they're never going to get it.
Right. Because I feel like sometimes, like, also just even before, like, someone makes Aliyah, they have that image of, like, wow, Israel, Tel Aviv. Right. Like, they come on Birthright and they're like, wow, like, the water is so pretty. Like, I'm going to move here. And then there's the people that actually move here. And there's definitely, like, those roadblocks that you mentioned. And, like, do you find that at first kind of a lot of Olim in the community are living in a bit of a fantasy land before it kind of hits them, like, oh, this is a different type of life than in America?
I think so. And I think that's a joke that people make about Olim here, right? A lot of people say people who make Aliyah escape their reality in the States or wherever it is. And you know what? It's fine. Like, people who move to Israel also escape. Israelis who move to America also escape their reality. Like, all the people working in LA or New York, like, they're trying to escape their reality from Israel. I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, but I do think it's a shock, and I do think it's a slap in the face, and I do think it takes time to get adjusted. And I do think a lot of Olim live here in La La Land, but that's their life. Live in La La Land if you want. Like, if you can.
I actually love that perspective. Yeah. Because, like, I was literally talking to someone yesterday, and it's like, I've been here for, like, 2 weeks, and every conversation I have is like, okay, so are you going to make Aliyah? Like, do you want to? Like, and I'm like, I don't. It's a problem. So it's like, there's, like, the pragmatic, practical, safe little life. And then there's, like, the following your heart, following your dreams. And it's, like, what's the smarter, like, better thing to do in life? Mm-hmm. It's just, like, a philosophical question.
Do you also think that sometimes there's a culture shock in the reverse direction from Israel, like a culture shock of Israelis about Olim?
Yeah, but I think they're used to us at this point. Like, they just know, and we have a stigma, and that's fine. It's part of the jokes. It's part of the Israeli Olim experience, but there is a shock, and like, a lot of Israelis struggle, I think, with the English and like talking to Olim, like, and I know it's a real problem for a lot of them. Like, I've had Israelis open up to me and say talking English and like working at even coffee shops is a struggle for them because they have to get in Tel Aviv, especially because they have to get adjusted to the English. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, we have the same struggles with Hebrew.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
I'm glad it goes in both directions. It's a universal experience.
Oh yeah. And then what's it like to like go back to America now? Like, you visit America, are you like, yay, it's nice to be back, like, it's nice to be in this reality, or are you like, ugh, I just want to go back?
It's both. Like, I'm one out of five kids, and my whole family lives in the States, so it's always so nice to go there and be with them, and, like, it is really hard, and it's not easy being here alone, and, like, I know a lot of people don't talk about this, but it is really hard to be alone. Like, I always talk about it on all my podcasts and everything I do. It's hard to be here alone without my family. I very much struggle with it. I get a lot of FOMO. So every time I do go back, it's really nice to be with my family, but it also reinforces the decision that I made the right choice. Like, I can't imagine living in Dallas or like New York at this stage in life. So, yeah.
Are there any tips you would give to Olim who've recently made Aliyah or consider making Aliyah, who maybe have lived here already or about to start living here or going to be living here by themselves, who maybe have some cousins or something like that, but are really just on their own completely?
Come to our events. Come to Olim and TLV events. Meet people. And I think just put yourself out there and never be scared. Like, it's something I've really had to learn and work on. Like, I used to be a very shy person who was scared to confront, scared to speak out, and just like, really, for everything in life, just say, excuse me for a language, you can...
Yeah, no, it's fine. You can go ahead.
Fuck it. And just, if you want to meet someone, if whether it's in a relationship way or as a friend way, go up to them, start a conversation. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be scared to be who you are. And make friends. But just don't be scared. I think that's the main thing. Don't be scared.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I like I'm obsessed with the courage and like the, just like the chutzpah that you have to. And like all these Olim have. Like, they just get up in the morning in America or something and they're like, I'm going to make Aliyah. And then they do it and they come a lot. Like, it's like it's really just like amazing. Your podcast. I was like, I had a question. Your podcast.
Yes.
So I was on the flight, the Alel flight to Israel. And then me and Jonah are like, we're making this podcast, blah, blah, blah. Like, I did a week of like Hasbara fellowships trip in Yerushalayim. And then we're like, okay, we have a week to like get as many interviews as we can. So then I see on the Elal thing that Olim and TLV podcast is there. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, this is on theme. And then I listened to your episode with Ori, Matan,
oh my
and
God,
Yehiel.
That was my favorite episode.
I literally am sitting there on the plane, like taking notes. I'm like, this is so, Jonah, like, this is what we need.
Uh-huh. So yeah, it was really funny. That was my favorite episode.
It was so good. Bro, Ori, like, Ori can
Ori's
say
a
anything.
Character.
He's like, oh my God, I love Ori.
Ori feels not real sometimes.
He's not real. He's literally a cartoon character.
He's literally a concept.
He's a cartoon character.
Yeah. He's AI, you know?
He's so funny.
Is there a specific realm in which you want Olim and Tel Aviv to expand to in the future?
Olim University. Actually, we're starting Olim University branch, which means like all these Olim who, or not Olim, like foreigners who moved to Israel and are studying, and we're going to do college life here. Is that what you're referring to? Is that kind of the question?
Kind of, but also like, is there any other ideas that you've had that you kind of want to see happen or some specific type of content that you want to try and expand into?
With Olim and TLV, I have a long list. Mm-hmm. I have a long list of things I want to achieve. I want to also Olim in Jerusalem. I want to kick that off. There's a lot to be done.
100%.
But yeah.
It's really just like Tel Aviv and Jerusalem that are like those main like Olim communities, right?
I always get these random DMs. Can you start Olim in Ramadan, Olim in Haifa? I'm like, we're not there yet. I don't know if we'll ever be, but...
For like the 10 Olim who live in Haifa?
Yeah.
Can you do Olim in the suburbs of Tel Aviv?
Is that like Ramat Aviv?
Basically, yeah.
Is that Petah Tikva?
I wonder when it'll get there. Huh? If we keep having more Aliyah.
For sure. For sure. Get there. One day.
We're going to colonize the colonizers.
One day.
It's a double negative, so you're just gonna start doubling up on that
exactly.
At a certain point. Yeah,
the Olim invasion of 2025. Starting with me. Just kidding. No, I don't know if I'm gonna be there. We'll see.
Yeah. So with that said, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or anything else that, you know, you'd like to mention or anything?
Any influencers you want to name drop? Talk about their husband or skills? Just kidding.
I love Shaka Khan, Zach Margs, Margolin. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we've all become a family, like, throughout this. Even though Olimon TLV isn't a Hasbara account, quote-unquote, it's been able to open a lot of doors for me and meet really amazing people and really build a family for myself. So
how did that network, like, happen? Like, literally just social media?
Just social media. And then you meet in person, and it just happens.
It's really funny, because that's technically how I met Amanda.
Yeah. Low-key. Yeah, like, he was, like, my little, like, I was, like, low-key, like, influencer fangirling to him. And then he's like friends of friends at IDC and whatever. And then I reposted one of his reels. And then my friend that goes here is like, oh, I know him. He's my good friend. So I'm like, haha, tell him I say hi. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, we're starting a podcast.
Yeah, 100%. We're trying to get as many influencers on here as we can.
Good for you guys.
You know, ask the questions that really, you know, need to be asked and everything.
Amazing.
So,
good for you guys.
With that said, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much. Of course. You literally, like, found, like, that tiny little window in your schedule.
I know. I'm really happy we got this done, though.
Yeah. I'm so happy. Thank you.
Hopefully, we can have you back on in the future. This isn't, like, a one-off thing. We hope everybody we can bring on, you know, multiple times and everything. With that said, thank you for listening to D-Influence, a show that sets the record straight and explores the world of influencers, content creators, and more. Thank you so much, Noah.
Of course.
For joining the show today. My name is Jonah Hoffman, and we will see you in the next one.
De-influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jonah Hoffman and Amanda Yakubovic.